listening to Book Nerds.
Hello and welcome to episode number 17 of the Book Nuts Podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about books. We do listen to an audiobook format, but please feel free to read the Cliff Notes version, the regular version, whatever you want to do. I'm one of the hosts, Tracy Holtz, otherwise known as Holster. And as always, it is a pleasure for me to introduce my co-host, my partner in crime for this, the one, the only, Nadu, Jonathan. How are you doing today, Jonathan?
I'm doing fantastic, Holster. How about yourself?
Doing good. I'm running out of way to introduce you, so I'm just trying something new. So I threw the last name, first name there. So I got a feeling I'm gonna have to be repeating coming up here.
How are the chicks doing? And by that I mean baby chickens.
Oh, glad you clarified that there. You know, as most people know, I got the face for radio, so I went directly to the chickens. but doing great. They are getting big. Very big. They had 23 that hatched.
Out of what, 30-something?
Out of 33.
Oh, so, that's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. So just starting to get the cones on top, and I think I counted 14 roosters.
Ooh.
Well, that's fine. All the roosters is going to be meat. And
they're going to be dinner.
Yeah, and the females will be thrown over and with the other chicks. So right now I'm actually building a small chicken coop in a run next to theirs, because you just can't throw chickens in with older chickens. They'll get killed. They'll get pecked to death. So
Okay. They
have two runs right next to each other where they can get used to each other, and they kind of know who's dominant, who's not. So they can be, and then you can introduce them and keep the pecking and everything down to a minimum. There'll be some, but it's just for that. But I'm going to put.
Is that where the term pecking order is coined from?
Yes, it is. It's actually, there's a hierarchy with chickens. And the ones low on the pecking order do get picked on a little bit, but they kind of stay off to themselves a little bit. And there might even be two pecking orders, because the most chickens a rooster will have is 12 to 15 generally. Since I have about in the high 20s now, I do have two distinctive flocks. Each one of those flocks has a pecking order, plus there's a pecking order as a whole since they're together too. So it's pretty complicated. And the ones way down on the lotum on the totem pole, yeah, one of them that's actually low on the totem pole, she doesn't care. She's all about eating food. You know, she's looks a little different than the others. She's about the food, and she doesn't care. She doesn't care about her safety, nothing. You know, it's all about the food. So it's kind of like me, you know. So
reminds me of a scene in that movie Chicken Run when they dump the feed in, and there's this one chicken that's like, oh, yeah, and it like flocks to it right away, just starts mowing on the feed.
Exactly. So, yeah, but it's doing good. They're doing pretty darn good. I'm building a fodder system, just finished that up. Basically, fodder, you're growing wheat, barley, or sunflower, grasses, just for a week. Most of the nutrition is in the root mass, though, but it does look like a little mat. But so I can basically grow better food for my chickens, and it's actually a lot cheaper.
Is it like the microgreen version to feed your chickens?
In a way, yes. Yes. Basically, when you feed your chickens grains, they will only get 20% of that in nutrition.
Okay.
If you grow it into fodder, they'll get between 70 and 80, somewhere in there.
That way you could fatten them up quicker.
Yeah, we just use less feed. So you actually save money, they get more nutrition, and they actually like it better because it's more fresh. You know, it's just fresh stuff. So it's just the common sense, and it's basically just a little pump set up where I got some seed set in and just basically let it sit for a week and take it out of the racks and throw it in with the chickens.
Nice. That's awesome.
So yeah, so that's it. So let's get right into this book. Again, we changed the format last week. Basically, we're just going straight on through it. No non-spoiler spoiler section. It's pretty much all spoiler. So we're doing this as kind of a test. Again, get back with us if you totally hate it. But odds are we're probably going to keep it. Really listening to it, looking at it, it was a little clunky back and forth. We did have to repeat a lot of stuff. So it's probably going to stay like this, but we don't know. But this book here, like I said last week, was a book. I said, Jonathan, read this book. I really think you'll like it. And the next day he says, did you say there was five? Give me the others. So, so I said, okay. But it is Odd Thomas by Dean Koontz. Now, before I get into the book, I want to say, when I listened to this book a few years ago, when I got done with it, this was not a book when I was listening to it that I was just through the whole thing. I was like, this book is awesome. This is great. Through the whole thing, I said, this is a good book. That's about all I said. And then it was done. I said, was that a good book or wasn't it? And I said to myself, I don't know. But you know, for about 4 or 5 days afterwards, I kept thinking about the book over and over and over and over, more than I have with most other books. And at that point, I said, yeah, it was a good book. So basically what this is, it's all centers around a boy. He's, I think, 18 or 19, right?
And yeah, that I think book the I think the first book he's 18 or 19.
Yeah, but his name is Odd Thomas. And some people say he was supposed to be Todd, but his parents didn't put the T. But when you find out about his parents, he wasn't raised by his parents. He was raised by his actual, he was raised by his grandma, right?
His parents are kind of there, but, you know, they're opposite ends of each other. And so I think as he got a little bit older, he more hung out with his grandmother, but his parents were kind of there, I guess, if you're, you know, ish, but yeah, didn't really pay much attention to him.
That's right, because he does talk about how his mom, she would act like she was going to kill herself sometimes. That's right,
exactly,
that's right.
He was there. Exactly.
But no, his parents says, no, we wanted to name you Odd. And they don't know if they were just saying that to, like, you know, pester him or what. But his name is Odd Thomas. He lives in Arizona out in the desert. And basically, top level look down at it, Odd Thomas can see dead people. Not all dead people. He can't really talk to them, but he can see them. Basically, if they were a tragic death, where there was no closure at the death for some reason, they reach out to him and he can kind of see them, you know, almost like Sixth Sense type deal with that little boy there in a roundabout way. One person that kind of follows him around everywhere that does go to the other books is Elvis.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Elvis will be doing weird stuff all the time, you know. So yeah.
Well, like you said, like he can't communicate with the people, but like, you know, he could see that they're crying, or, you know, they might make gestures, or maybe by the way they're standing, you know, like he could kind of gain, I, you know, maybe what they're trying to say from things like that. So yeah, like there's points when Elvis might be crying, or like, you know, he's all happy or whatever. And later on in some of the other books, it's actually instead of Elvis, it's why am I forgetting his name? The Las Vegas singer Sinatra.
Yes,
he's hanging out with Sinatra in a few of the books too. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, the plot kind of starts, before that, he does have he calls him his soulmate. They call her Stormy, but her real name is Browen,
I think.
Browen, yeah. Real close to that. We could be wrong, but he's just known by Stormy throughout the whole thing. But basically, he can see these things called Bodocs. He does not know the names. He just calls them Bodocs. They really look like dark spirit types, entity type things.
Ghosty sort of things.
That he sees before something bad's going to happen. It's like they're attracted to people that are going to die. And the worse the tragedy and the more people are dead, the more Bodocs he sees. Well, he runs into this guy. He's a cook at this diner. And this guy comes in, and basically he has never seen so many Bodocs start to come all over town, the town they're in. So he's basically, and the local sheriff believes him, but the sheriff doesn't let anybody else know that he believes him, what's going on, because there's there's too many facts proving to the local sheriff how Odd Thomas is telling the truth. So, but the one guy they name that he sees these Bodoks surrounding, he calls him the Fungus Man.
Yeah.
Because basically he's got a waxy complexion and blonde hair, resembles, you know, kind of like he has mold on him all the time. So basically he's following this guy around and breaks into his house to find out what the heck is going on. Do you want to continue?
Yeah, and so, you know, because Odd Thomas is like, okay, this guy's up to something because these Bodoks are kind of hanging around him, and he looks kind of creepy, and he's like, you know, what's this guy up to? So he breaks into his house to try and figure out, you know, what is this guy doing? What's he about to do? Because the Bodoks wouldn't follow this guy around for nothing. And he breaks into his house, and in one of the rooms, he basically finds this, like, black hole kind of thing. It's like, you know, he doesn't know what it is, but he's like, I've never seen anything like this before. What the heck is this? And so that's, you know, one thing he discovers in the guy's house. He doesn't know how to deal with that. And then he also discovers, like, some body parts in the freezer. And so he's like, okay, this guy's up to no good. I don't know what the heck is going on with this guy, but he's up to no good. And so he's trying to figure out, you know, what is all this leading to? And so he's trying to figure out, is he working with someone? Is he partnering with someone? What's he planning? And throughout this book, Odd Thomas has been having this reoccurring dream where, like, all these people, like, die. Like, he doesn't know what causes the deaths of all these people, but he can tell. It's like, he thinks it's, like, in this bowling alley because he kind of recognizes some of the people. And he has this reoccurring dream where, you know, all these people die, and he's, like, trying to prevent it. And he thinks that, you know, the fungus guy had something to do with that.
Correct. So we don't want to give you the whole book back to back over and over and over and over. Basically, it comes down to a big kind of standoff in a way at the mall, and people do die at the mall. But because of him, most people are saved.
Yeah.
Because of him. But one person that does die, and he doesn't know it right away, is his girlfriend Stormy.
Yep.
After it's all over, he kind of goes back to their apartment they were sharing and talking to her about this and that. And then he realized after about a week or two that she was dead. And he realized, well, I've really never talked to her before. During this couple weeks we just been together.
He didn't realize that she wasn't talking to him.
So that's basically that. So that was basically the book.
That threw me for a loop at the end. I didn't see that coming. I was like, man, they killed off the girlfriend in the first book?
Yeah, that's what I said too. And I was like, whoo, boy, yeah, I guess anything can happen here. excuse me, I'm sorry for the coughing there. But the series of the book, there is a few of them. I'm not going to get into what, but I think my favorite one is the third one, Brother Odd.
That's a good one.
I don't want to say, albeit this one was very, very good. I think the storyline in Brother Odd was just a little better.
I think this was definitely a great opening book for the series, for sure. It definitely made you want to read more, so I think it's good in that sense. I like Brother Odd. The last one I'm a fan of too. I can't remember the name of it, but I was a fan of really all of them. There's nine of them actually. I read all of them. I can't really think of any of them that I was. There might have been one that I was kind of like, yeah, that one was okay. But really, I think the whole series was done pretty well. So they're definitely worth listening to for sure. You won't be disappointed.
Okay. I did not know this till right now. In 2013, there was a movie called Odd Thomas. Did you?
Oh, really? No, I didn't know that.
I'm going to have to hunt that one down now to see what it's like. Here's where I think they missed it with this book, doing the movie. This would be another one that would make a great, I think it would make a okay movie. just because it is so detailed, parts of the, how it's written. You can't do that in movies where it would have to be, you know, like 20 hours. It's not going to happen. But where I see this is a great TV series.
Yeah, Netflix needs to pick it up.
Yeah, I really think this would be another one right up there with like Supernatural kind of TV show where really go on and on and on about it, you know, and I think it would be a good TV show. That's me. But my score on this is definitely a very good, solid 9.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's definitely a 9. Like I said, it's a great book, especially for the series. It opens up great, makes you wanting more. I think the storyline was, out of the 9 books, this would probably be the second or third best one out of all of them. So it's a strong, strong opening for the series and well written. I like the way that the book is written, like the style of it too, like, cause it's like odd, it's from the viewpoint of Odd Thomas, and he's kind of like narrating the book, like, so you hear, you know, you hear his thoughts and stuff like that as he's like going on throughout his day and stuff. So I kind of like the way that the book is written also.
Yeah, to go on about that, the reason he did that, his best friend is actually a writer. Was he a sci-fi writer, I think? I forgot.
Yes, I believe so. He's like this big, like 500-pound guy.
Yeah, that was still pretty mobile for his weight.
Yeah.
But he said, Odd, write this stuff down. You know, if anything, it'll be good for you. So the book is actually Odd Thomas' book written by him for him. That's how it's perceived. So the way Jonathan was saying his thoughts and stuff like this, you get to hear everything like that. So, and one thing I'll say about him is nothing really ever got him down, except the death of Stormy, of course. But, you know, other than that, nothing really gets him down.
Yeah, well, even though she had died, like the one thing he talks about, they went to like a carnival, and they went to like all I can think of is like the movie Big, how he went to that machine and made his wish. They went to something like that, and this you know, card that spit out of the machine said, "You're destined to be together forever." And so after she had passed away, he always hung on to that, like he put it in a frame, and he'd always look at it saying, well, we're destined to be together forever. And so he just always kind of hung on to that.
Yeah, that's funny. I had the exact same image in my head, too, from Big.
The minute they mentioned it, I was like, oh, I'm picturing like that, you know, that guy's head inside that machine, you know?
Exactly. So, good. Well, that is basically the book Odd Thomas by Dean Koontz. Definitely it is something you have to go out and check out. Do the first one. If you like it, do the rest. They'll all be good to you then.
Yeah.
Before we go on, I don't want to forget to say what we're doing next week. Next week, the book is The Crown Conspiracy by Michael J. Sullivan. This was one actually where Jonathan said, Tracy, read this. Okay. So, and it was one of those that I always said I wanted to. Because wasn't this one on Patio Books?
Yeah, Nathan Lowell is in this book as a voice actor.
Okay. Yeah, so it was one of them that I had on my list, but I never did. And Jonathan was basically like, no, that's going to be on the list pretty quick. Okay, so I did it, and good book. That's all I'm going to say. Don't want to get into it more. But that's the next one. In case you want to jump and go grab it on Patio Books, you could grab it free by Michael J. Sullivan and listen to it before we do our next show next week. So again, if you guys want to support the show, please go to podness.com/Amazon. Get something right there from Amazon. It doesn't cost you more. It just kicks some money, a little money back to Dor so he can support and pay for everything like that. And speaking of Stephen McLaughlin, a.k.a. Door to Door Geek, I think we have to go back to the old standby. Just pick a day. Everybody can have different days where you just ignore him the whole day. If he talks to you, just say, Tracy said I'm supposed to ignore you today. And answer him the next day. I don't care. I'll take the blame. That's okay. So, again, I appreciate that. I want to thank everybody for downloading, listening to this, taking time out of your busy schedules. We do appreciate it a lot.
Yes.
And again, if you want to go out, why don't you plug what you just go ahead and plug it again.
For the podnuts.com/Amazon?
No, for your, for the...
The Accessible Computing Foundation?
Exactly.
Oh, okay, yeah, if anyone wants to help out with that, you can become a member. Go to theaccessiblecomputingfoundation.org, and you can help out assistive technology be created for people around the world. It would be greatly appreciated.
Good, good, good. Again, thanks, everybody, for listening. Everybody have a great day and a great week.
See ya.